I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Hump Day. It's Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T973.com. Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday edition. Hopefully yours is going well. We're live from the First United Bank Studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. Take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. And as always, we are streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. Clint Scott joined by Dr. Mike Gustafson. Gus, Gusserino, Gusser. That's stuck in my head now, by the way. Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. You have put me on a string.
So here's what happened.
From SNL.
To our listeners, here's what happened. You know, back in 1990, early 90s. Mm-hmm. You might recall the Rob Schneider copy guy making copies. That was a skit that I, let's see, Jonas, Spades, okay, Schneider, okay, yeah, early 90s. Because I seem to remember it as being like I would go to the weight room after that and everybody would be standing around doing exactly what Clint's doing 37 years later.
Gusserino, doing a radio show, got a bender.
It's the Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider. I actually thought about this because I need to go back and watch it. It was at least recurring a couple times. And I want to get a couple of clips because heaven forbid one of the characters that he's sitting there at his desk going, you know, Bob, the Bobinator, you know, all of that, making copies, that deal. Heaven forbid any of them should be named, you know, Gus, Clint, Mike. Really pick anybody. Jamie.
I mean, there could be a Chuck in there.
Ben,
the Chuckster.
A Benster.
Chuck, up Chuck.
Heaven forbid, because we're about to have some drops made out of this thing. Because 32 years is not too long, right?
It seemed like a familiar skit when you had shown it, but at the same time, I couldn't have pulled it off the top of my head. And then that's basically what we did in the breaks yesterday during hour number two. So from 4 to 5 o'clock, and then this morning, I'd forgotten it, and this morning I was sitting, and it just started popping back in my head as I saw people doing it. I was having to fight the urge to not do that.
Here we go. Yeah, January 91. Yeah, that's about right. It was definitely weight room time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Richmeister.
Struggling on the bench over there.
Richmeister. Yeah, so I apologize to all you old people going, yeah, we ran around doing that like 30 years ago. Yes, and Clint's doing it today. Well, that's okay, though. You know what? It's kind of cool when the old stuff, you know, our stuff becomes their stuff.
Trends come back.
When our kids listen to our music, you can kind of go, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works the other way around.
Who's this Paul Simon guy?
Right.
Kanye's going to make him huge. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
it's a stupid thing. Everyone getting angry at that was very funny. It is Tech Talk coming off of a win over UTRGV. Mm-hmm. Nothing groundbreaking but needed.
It's good, solid 11-6. Baseball.
Yeah. I think you got out of it. For the most part, what you were looking out of it, you would have loved to have seen the run total obviously go down. But at this point, you were just looking to break a losing streak, and offense definitely showed up against the Vaqueros. And in a what was a back and forth game through 3/4 of it, ends up as a win. So, you know, nothing that's all of a sudden you feel like everything's fixed or anything like that, but certainly some good out of it.
Couldn't agree more. They did some things offensively, and you asked me yesterday, what are they? And I said, well, they're more of an offense first type team. and in general, most teams are. Mm-hmm. But they came out, and I mean it was entertaining because we get one, they get two, we get two, they get one, and back and forth into the fifth, and then Josh Sanders hangs a big zero with the bases loaded and their best hitter up. You give Coach Tad credit for that because, one of the things the analytics people have had a fit with in baseball over the last several years is, the whole leave your closer to pitch the ninth kind of a thing. And whereas Tim, from day one here, would bring his closer in or his best bullpen option in a situation, you go, well, he may not get the save because he's probably not throwing four innings. Mm-hmm. But the game is on the line right now. Sure enough, bases loaded, two outs. It was a one run. It may have been tied at that point. And the guy who's RBI single, RBI double, and two-run jack is at the plate. Josh Sanders comes in, gets him on a weak ground out. Tech comes back, takes advantage of a double play that doesn't get turned. Scores four runs, and that game was never the same. And, if Tim was super, rigid or whatever about, nope, I'm only bringing Josh Sanders in to pitch the ninth, then that could have been a different story. But, yeah, it was I would say this. I would much rather when I was when I watch now for sure, but even when I was coach summer league or whatever, I was way more interested in us winning a game that had a competitive edge to it than us going out and beating somebody 16-2, because the 16-2 doesn't really, I don't know that you learn a lot from. It's great when it happens. We all talk about it and go, oh yeah, but somebody making a pitch and doing some things, especially this team at this point, going out and having to grind a little bit to beat a team that 2 weeks earlier went into Austin and smoked Texas, mm-hmm. But that also goes to show Texas getting smoked at home, how much different is that than Tech getting thumped at home by New Mexico? It's a wake-up call.
Sure.
For sure. So, anyway, but yeah, it's good, and productive win. A lot of, a lot of good things happened, and here we go. Get ready for OU.
This on the chat line, did you mean Paul McCartney? Yes, correct. McCartney, not Simon. I apologize. That's who Kanye collabed with, that everyone was like, oh, man, this former Beatle. not a collaboration with a formerly known as Simon and Garfunkel. Different band. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. The Juice, coming up next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Foreman. The guest there, Gusarino. Texas Tech Golf, ranked 14th in the country, earns, 22nd consecutive regional bid for Greg Sands and company. They were, selected today as expected. They're placed in the Baton Rouge Regional as a 3 seed. In the field of teams seeded 1 through 14. So that's, of course, hosted by LSU. That'll be played at the University Club in Baton Rouge. So congratulations to them. Looking forward to seeing that. The sustained success, Jamie was talking about this with Greg Sands over there. Mm-hmm. It's just been phenomenal and very underrated. Texas Tech baseball, they won yesterday 11-6 over UTRGV. Finally found some separation in the sixth inning whenever the Red Raiders put up 3 runs and then hung 4 zeros in a row in innings 6, 7, 8, and 9. There was a run scored in every inning outside of the ninth by at least one of the teams in the game. So very back and forth, 4 home runs as a team. Gavin Cash, first at-bats were 2 home runs.
Yep. One to left, one to right. What not to like about that?
Texas Tech football announced the sellout of season tickets. This is the first Big 12 team to announce. So, of course, the much-anticipated newly renovated stadium and new end zone and everything that's going on there. It'll be great to see all that. Everyone excited. Seven home games this year for Red Raider football, but that was announced earlier today. So another good news there for Texas Tech football.
I think that number's at 32,000. That's the number of season tickets they had for sale.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Of course, then you add in students, and there will be the tickets that are left from that are what can be sold on an individual basis, I assume. Love it.
Texas Rangers started a series with the Nationals yesterday and won 7-1. John Gray was outstanding. Just three singles allowed in the game, and those were the three hits for Washington. Their lone run came in the first inning. John Gray went eight complete innings, getting the win. The Rangers will be back at it tonight. Game two against the Nationals. The Astros, boy, they had some excitement winning in the 10th. It was a walk-off two-run shot that did it with Victor Caratini playing hero yesterday. And this was, of course, in the 10th after the Guardians got a run and went up 9-8. And then the Astros answered in the home half of the inning and now have won three in a row. Feeling a little bit better, 10-19. Still some work to do, but I would say a shimmer of light in the season that started off not the way that the Astros have wanted at all. See if they continue that tonight after the high school fan zone. That'll be a 7 o'clock start for Astros Guardians game two. High school fan zone tonight with Garrett Luft will feature coaches from Friendship, Lubbock Cooper, and Liberty starting at 6. They'll go live here from the First United Bank studio.
And I think that was the second extra inning win for the Astros in their last 14. Second win in their last 14 extra innings games. And that goes obviously well into last year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was a good team. So, you know, for whatever reason, they just haven't. It looked like they were going to get out of the top of the 10th. Hader got the first two guys out. You know, of course, the runners on second gave up a two-out double. And then the Astros get their first two guys out. And you're thinking, man, bloop a single, tie this thing up. Mm-hmm. Pinch hitter Caratini runs one out of there. And they rejoice. Would you say four in a row? Isn't that right?
Three in a row.
Okay.
Yeah. After taking the two-game set against Colorado in Mexico City.
Here come the Astros.
Here they come. The turnaround.
Or should that be more like turn around?
Okay. No, keep going. I was stepping back. Every now and then I want to go on a win streak because it feels better than losing. The Dallas Mavericks, Gus, continue their series with the Clippers tonight. Two game fives for Dallas-based teams, one in the NBA and this one in LA. Last time out, the Clippers won to even up the series at two wins apiece, 116-111. That tip-off in L.A. is at 9 tonight. The other Dallas-based Game 5 is in Dallas. That is Game 5 for the Stars as they host the Vegas Golden Knights. That series has looked different than what the Mavericks series has. This has been road winners only. Dallas hosted, of course, the first two games, dropped them, and then won back-to-back, including that 4-2 game last time out. Again, puck drops there in Dallas at 6:30. Hit us up on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, question, all of that, welcome there. Chuck asked me this question yesterday, and I thought it was interesting. I think this might be an easier answer for you, but I'm curious on your thoughts. If you were given a free ticket right now to either a Mavericks playoff game or a Stars playoff game, which one would you take? Yeah, that's what I thought, but I thought I would ask. Yeah. Buzzed in early. I didn't even get to Who are the Stars? This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, but I thought Tadlock didn't know how to handle pitchers anymore. People need to watch more baseball.
Yeah, I think... You got no... The texter's not talking to me there.
No, obviously. Yeah, I'm heavy good dose with, of sarcasm in
I'm
there.
I'm good with it. He's I mean, you're never, nobody's ever going to be perfect with that sort of thing. You bring a guy in, you know, get it set up, get a guy go left on left and give up a rocket or whatever, or walk somebody or whatever. But yeah, this has never been about, you know, I've always given him credit for that, because it's something his instincts were. He was doing that before everyone in the major leagues was doing it. And I'm not saying he was a trendsetter, but I just think what he saw as common sense has sort of been adopted. Again, I'm not suggesting that, you know, the Minnesota Twins sat around one day and went, see that guy at Texas Tech? Mm-hmm. He brought in the closer to get out of a big jam in the sixth inning.
We should do that.
Right.
We should trickle that into our game. No. How about that?
Yeah. I think as we start seeing it in MLB, start thinking, man, that's, you know, Tim does that already.
Yeah.
He'd go get Ty Harp on in the middle innings when Harp was the closer. And I think it's also why, you know, Tex had a lot of relievers that have been, I shouldn't say a lot of, but there are several instances in which the key reliever threw as many innings or probably more innings as a Sunday starter, but never had a 12-save, 15-save guy, you know, because it's usually been more about getting that guy in at the right game, or if a game's close, like bringing that guy in the sixth inning or whatever, and have, we'll get two innings out of him and worry about the eighth and ninth later. Instead of, you know, falling behind by three runs and then bringing your best guy in the eighth and nine, hoping for the rally, you know, and that's just, it's been Tim's instinct since who knows, probably going back forever to Grayson or whatever. But yeah, he's.
I like that you know, you use the word with the other way of rigid. Now, I also think with this year, now he's done this leading up to this season, so this isn't new, but when you look at this season, you almost have to, with the way your arms have fallen. And also, I mean, who do you consistently trust to do that? Even if you were to be rigid and say, hey, it's Sanders as the closer, he's not coming in unless it's a save opportunity, or unless we know we're going to have him, sure, in the eighth and the ninth. Even if that were the case, I mean, who would you trust right now to be that other consistent piece? And you've had flashes from guys, and then, you know, waves.
Past,
and
you get past Josh and Sanders and Parker Hutera, and it gets, you know, that's where it starts getting a little more checkered.
It's like he's done this before, but this year I think it would also be the most difficult to do that.
Yeah.
Even if more. So this is, again, a good thing that you do have a coach who goes off of feel of the game and doesn't have that kind of rigid side of, this is the way it's supposed to be. A closer is supposed to close.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. If you are an active Twitter user,
mm-hmm.
And if you're not, I support you. I wish I wasn't. You kind of have, you know, daily one or two things, maybe three things that seem to really overtake, especially sports Twitter, right? Just overtakes your feed. Mm-hmm. And the resounding topic that just drowned out probably most of the morning stuff for me.
Okay.
As I was going through things, was one, Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes. Have you seen the, let's call it the action that's been going on today?
No,
it
I'm
is
not.
A clown show.
Okay.
Okay, so Max.
Tell us about it.
Max Olson.
Yes.
With The Athletic,
mm-hmm.
a couple days ago, put out an article basically getting the experiences of the mass exodus of the players last year when he first came in, essentially that he had kicked out and said, you're not good enough, you're leaving. Which, again, happens in sports. This one was just bold and brash, and it felt like you knew all of the nitty-gritty, right? All Max Olson did was kind of just get the other side of the story, because Colorado's going through another cycle. Of course, they're coming into the Big 12 this year. I think in the same sentence, you can say they had a better season than what most expected, but then whenever you got into the season, they also had a disappointing result, right? Because they started off with a bang, beating TCU. They weren't just a doormat. And then still in the end, you know, they don't make a bowl game, though. And that goes with lowering and rising expectations. That offensive line was a mess. The defense was suspect. They had some issues with their coaching staff, and they brought in the Kent State offensive coordinator and mysteriously took away his calling, even though the offense was the best part of that unit last year. Max Olson gets the side of the guys that he basically ran off, right? And it was basically just nothing. I didn't think anything horrible was everything that we knew was happening and said, hey, he basically told us we were gone from day one. One kid, you know, had said he fought through that, stuck around, didn't think he was getting a real look in the spring, and then ends up at Austin Peay, right? That's what the article is. Well, the sense of the article is saying, hey, they were not running a very good culture program. They were being brash. They were being bold. And they were being very negative to those that they didn't seem fit what Colorado was going to be. And by they, I mean Coach Sanders. And that's, I mean, we knew that, right? That's right, not shocking. Right. So this was not, to me, like a dirt article. This wasn't a, hey, Max Olson is going trying to get Coach Prime, right? Well, what's the reaction been like? It has been one Shedeur Sanders and now Coach Sanders actively firing back at said players. First one that happened that kind of started the whole fire, Shedeur Sanders saying, you know, great leader here. I don't even remember him, to be honest. Bro had to be mid at best.
And that was Shedeur?
That was Shedeur okay. towards Xavier Smith, who was recalling his time of being run off over to Austin Peay. So, okay, well, this could have been a nothing burger, and now you have turned it into a something. After that, Deion Sanders comes in and says he will someone had said, you know, something about his son, says he will be a top five pick. Where your son going? LOLOL. I got time today. And is now multiple, by the way, tweeting back at fans. He also, Coach Prime, somebody had shared his stats at Austin Peay, the kid who was ran off, and retweeted that with, quote, Lord Jesus. And has just become a, not rapidly, I think for the most part, not everybody loved how he did things. Again, I'm not saying he was right or wrong for how he started the program last year, sure. but now is encasing himself as a villain coming into the Big 12. And it has been, and you can go back to a couple of weeks ago where you had basically him saying, hey, talk to my son if you're a defensive transfer, talk to my other son if you're an offensive transfer, that being a defensive back and a quarterback. What are you expecting out of Colorado this year? Because it is...
Yeah, we're about to...
It's gotten hard to watch over there.
Yeah, we're about to find out if it's, you know, 3D chess or if it was just an amateur at the helm.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, it doesn't... I would assume that's not a great look, and but, you know, and might adversely affect their ability to... attract talent, but I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't seem like a good. I mean, the other thing that doesn't seem ideal is just that it's dad and the two sons.
Yes,
you know that's yes. the other thing that just makes it a little more, I guess, uncomfortable. Maybe the word. Just like, man, this isn't even his best two players. Obviously. Shedeur's a quarterback who will be a draft pick next year, but that's not Victor Hunter.
Travis Hunter.
I mean Travis Hunter.
Yeah. No, that's not him.
Victor Hunter played football at that 20 years ago.
Yeah. It's also not Victor Hunter.
Nope, still not. Yeah. No matter how many times I say it. So I don't know. That just it feels a little kind of daddy ball.
Yeah, well, this
it feels kind of small time, but like I said, they may get some helium in year two and go on a tear and have us all thinking how ahead of the game he is. But man, it just doesn't feel. I mean, it doesn't feel like the like it's operating like the big time programs operate.
No, this feels like a program that does have some talent on the roster that may be rolling in like a cart on fire down a hill with a busted wheel. Like it feels like it could come in and be an absolute mess. And then you add stuff like this, like fuel to the fire. Like if I was any other coach on the schedule and you were looking for like bulletin board material.
Right.
Like is he going after other coaches in this? No. But I'm using this saying like this is the type of coach that's on the sideline right now. Like this is what he thinks of other players that aren't, you know, last name Sanders, and then probably Travis Hunter, and then outside of that, I mean there's a almost not inhumane, that seems way too strong of a word. There's a disrespect towards the other players. Like this is who you're going up against as a college football player yourself who wants to be treated that way. That's what I would be using 100%, right?
Sure. And you know, and again, the dad thing and just the, I mean, that just it just feels high school at best. And again, I'm not sitting here and dunking on it. I just, if that was my team, I'd be cringy as we headed into year two. Because we can talk about Tadlock, McGuire, McCaslin, all talk about building relationships.
Yeah.
And here's, you know, the Sanders family kicking dirt on dudes that left the program. It just seems like you should be above that.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com, leading you up to Texas Rangers baseball as they face the Nationals in game two after winning the first game 7-1. Terrific outing from John Gray. Gus, speaking of baseball, well, first, before we get to this, would you consider yourself a Nick Cage fan?
Oh, no. I mean, whatever. He's fine. Whatever. Kind of cheesy, but obviously he's had a good run.
Yeah, sure. I mean, established actor, been doing it forever, ton of stuff in his catalog book. I'm one that certainly appreciates the bad side of Nick Cage and the cheesy side and the overacting. Sure. I saw something that happened last night that reminded me of one of my favorite Nick Cage roles on the bad side. And if you've never seen the Wicker Man remake, horrible movie, horrible, horrible remake. The original one, I think, was back in the 70s. Never seen it. Why do I play not the Bears? Not the Bears, Gus! Did you see the game get delayed last night?
Yes.
2 hours between the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, and now there is a hero.
Yes. In that area. Such an interesting story. You know, last night's game, I broadcast with Chris Sylvester, and Chris was at his apartment, and it's funny, in that system, in those headphones, I had a guy from Raleigh directing us, and a guy in California broadcasting with me, you know.
Yeah, sure.
2024. But, and it went fine. I mean, in terms of, you know, is there anything about that that's a difficult? No. But Chris, being at his house, probably has a TV muted over in the corner like you and I do here in the studio. And he brought that up. I don't know if he brought it up on the air or off. I can't remember. But he was like, man, this game's got, you know, bees all over the net, you know, the backstop and this and that. And that was way late in the game. I think he did say it on the air. And then seeing social media today, I'll let you tell the rest of it, but it's such a random event, especially in a dome stadium.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. There's really not a lot more to tell, but is the beekeeper, pest control agent, whatever he was, his name was Matt Hilton. And, dude, you talk so about, cool. Like, could you, this, is probably one of the few cases where in a major sporting event like this, when you're doing a non-sporting job and your everyday job, that you get to like live an all-time moment. Because it's not like, hey, we have an accounting problem.
Truly.
Call 50. John Travis stat.
Yeah, too late. Truly his 15 minutes.
Yes. And, dude, I'll tell you what. He lived it up, too. I mean, he was, like, getting the crowd into it afterwards when they were cheering him on. He gets to throw the first pitch. Mm-hmm. My question was, who was going to throw the first pitch? And was it like, sorry, you know, old saint of a lady who was going to throw this out on her 90th birthday, but did you save us from a bunch of bees? I don't think so. So scram. We're letting Matt Hilton throw it. Pretty decent first pitch, too. Wasn't, you know, a dead ringer strike, but could have been worse. Then I saw they were having him, like, for interviews.
Right.
After it. So it's just been, like, a wild ride for Mr. Matt Hilton, who I'm sure we probably won't remember in, you know, 2 weeks from now. I don't know. Maybe we will. I guess we remember the, what was it, the cat from the Giants game a while back. Yeah. And then there was the squirrel that had a touchdown called in a Louisville game. Hmm. So maybe we'll remember the bee incident.
Oh, I'm sure we will. That's and I guess that dude went out there with the vacuum cleaner deal. And,
oh yeah,
yeah.
I guess like the maybe he kind of sprayed him down at first. Maybe that just to
slows him down or something. Because they usually don't kill him. They usually Yeah, they and then they'll take him somewhere and release
He didn't
him,
go out there with a flamethrower.
No, no, no. No
problem taken care of.
But then they interview him afterwards. And where were you? He go, well, I got the call. I was at my kid's t-ball game. It's just so perfect. And then he was in the moment, loving it. And they probably hit a lot of times you go to these games, there'll be two or three first pitches thrown because, and they may have already done a couple of the first pitches because, you know, this game brought to you by a hospital, or you know, whatever energy company or whatever it is. And so they may have already done all that stuff sort of on script. And then he gets.
But they didn't count, even if they did.
They're not the ones we're talking about, are they? Yeah. I mean, appreciate your sponsorship. And those folks hopefully had a good night in the suite and enjoyed the evening. But yeah, the our guy with the vacuum cleaner cleaning them up is cleaning up the beehive is the key. You know, bees are so interesting, man. They'll you think, well, it's just a random bug flying in or whatever, that they all, you know, there were so many,
and this like one, there were so many of them so quickly.
Right.
Yeah. I saw a Topps too, just a while ago. That's why I brought it up. Of course, the card company announced that they've signed a deal with Matt Hilton. And in parentheses, just for anyone who didn't know, the B specialist from last night's game. And they're making autographed cards from his all-time great performance. Autographed, of course, Matt Hilton, B specialist. And underneath it says, be afraid, be very afraid, bees swarm in Arizona. Oh, man, good for him. Good for that random person named Matt Smith. This on the chat line, they had the first pitch, then the bees delayed, then beekeeper threw out a second first pitch.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
This on the chat line from Mark. Guess when is Josh Young due to be cleared to play?
Yeah, I think that's some early mid-June. Because I think that the timing of that injury, and he's about a month into it, but I think the timing of that injury was, and after they did the surgery, you know, they initially thought, hey, 6 weeks, broken bone. And then after they did the surgery, they were thinking like more like 8 to 10. And so that's and I think Bochy confirmed that in a media availability earlier this week, that it's probably looking like it's going to be a week or two end of June. So he's still got a pretty good stretch.
This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Tech Talk, you've got us on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. Rangers baseball game two against the Nationals. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. Take us anywhere with a mobile app. That's brought to you by Happy State Bank. And we're streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. And if you like, you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Gus, we saw this happen right about the time that we were switching out you and Chuck yesterday. You got another commitment for Red Raider basketball, and it was a big one. And Chuck and I went over it a little bit, but we haven't gone over it yet. And that was Minnesota transfer point guard Elijah Hawkins, which feels like a really, really big pickup. And what we asked for with last year's squad, and I say this because you have a lot of returning players, is at times it did not feel like you had someone who could consistently facilitate the offense. I mean, you had guys that could run the offense, and you had guys that certainly were guards and could do that, but just not consistently, and came in like, hey, this is what the role is for you. At times when the offense would get stagnant or get rough or things like that, this is exactly who Elijah Hawkins is. And he can also score, which is nice, but I mean, he is second best assist numbers per game in the country for all of Division I, 7.5 assists per game, a guy who's played 3 years of basketball, an experienced guard, and like I said, he can shoot it. It's not like he's inept at offense, but he appears to be a run the offense first. And so if I'm Darian Williams, if I'm Kerwin Walton, if I'm Chance McMillan, this is an excellent pickup, like excellent news to play off of a guy like Elijah Hawkins. So, you know, that was a guy that we had talked, I think, an hour before he'd committed someone, because somebody had asked about great Osabor. And, you know, we were talking about just other guys that you were in the mix of, and this was certainly one that we knew you were. And boom, about an hour later, as we're saying goodbye to you, you get the everyone sharing the commitment. What did you think of the commitment from Mr. Hawkins?
Yeah, it's big time. I mean, it fills a need. This dude, it's everything you'd want in a playmaking point guard. You know, he can shoot. He's done everything, and this will be his third stop, which was no different than, you know, that's kind of the norm these days, right?
Sure.
First 2 years.
No longer does that bother me.
No.
Yeah.
First 2 years at Howard, and then at Howard University, and then Minnesota and here. But yeah, it's set all kinds of records at Minnesota, which obviously a Big Ten school for season assists and single game assist record, postseason game assist record. So he's been prime time. He checks the box that Coach McCaslin likes of guys that, you know, that have done things in good winning environments for sure. Yeah, it's the point guard, and there's, you know, this thing, you know, the Kentucky situation. Pope is loading up at Kentucky.
How about that?
It really is fascinating, because there's, and of course, maybe of note or locally or regionally, Brandon Garrison, the big man at Oklahoma State, is part of that picture at Oklahoma,
which was in the hunt of great Osabor, was excellent news, because I mean, they've loaded up on every position, but especially big guys. And so, I mean, I don't know how later it was, you see, hey, Osabor is out of the running for Kentucky. And so it seems like, hey, you, Louisville, Washington, and then he still could go back to Utah State, and I believe it's still on the table for him. But seeing that, like seeing a big-time player like that get knocked out of the running, it's kind of like, hey, thanks, Pope, for going to get it.
Oh, my God, yeah, no doubt. And I'm sure that's what and I think the – you know, some of the other just notes around the conference, it sounds like, you know, OU's had another player go in the portal like in the last couple hours. Sounds like that's full on desperation, which doesn't really hurt my feelings. But I don't even, and this is the last day. I think tonight is the tonight at midnight is the last the deadline to enter the portal, and so it could at least slow down. Now, how many of those? Not that all of us are getting a real time view of the database to know, to be able to confirm it, because there should be some dudes that quietly enter the portal. Man, I know about it for 2 or 3 days until somehow it gets out on Twitter or something.
If memory serves correct, this kind of happened in the last portal window where you saw names a couple days later, and I'm thinking more of for football, and people were going like, "You can't do that. You were the portal closed 2 days ago." And I was like, "Well, as long as they got their paperwork doesn't mean that they have to go out and make a big announcement." And I don't even know what's at that stage in the game, what's better or worse, because if I were a guy that went last day in available, like down to the final hour, I could see you wanting that. If it was a true open recruitment and it wasn't like I'm going into the portal and I'm pretty sure I already know where I'm going, let's just say that situation. If it really was a wide open recruitment, whoever wants to come after me, I'm willing to listen to all offers. I don't know if it's better or worse, if it matters to be like, hey, I'm going to make it when it's announced that I'm the name that's being floated around for at least a couple hours, and it's not so-and-so, this guy, and this guy all into the portal, and it's my name. I don't know from self-advertising if that really makes a difference, but regardless, like, that was the case in the last window where paperwork was done right, entered, and then a couple days later after it had technically closed, you saw, hey, so-and-so is in the portal. Fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see how it all settles. I think Tech right now still has like 5 spots to work with.
They're not done.
No stretch of the imagination, no doubt.
I don't know how big the fan base is for Minnesota basketball, but the Gopher faithful that I saw with the recruitment, they're a little bit in their feelings last night about it.
About him leaving.
And signing with Tech, and there was how avid the Tech fan base is on social media. They were giving it to him back. I was entertained.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.